don't think Brother Jim needs any introduction, but I'm sure that he'll have a message for us talking about the people of character. And talking about Alabama, where he's from, I have fond memories of Alabama from Fort McClellan, Alabama, in the Second World War.
I'm sure you remember that well.
Fort McClellan.
Well, brethren, as it says in the scriptures, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. I was the first to speak and I'm also the last to speak, so that came true, didn't it? People of character. A young man in Huntsville several years ago, in fact it was about 1944, wrote a paper to turn in to his for his school project. He wrote this paper and turned it in, and he was a young lad in about the fourth grade. And I'm sure he had some help from his family, but he wrote this paper and turned it in, and he turned it in on character. And I got a copy of it from Sister Alice Magnus. It happened to be her brother that wrote this, Joe, whom some of you have met. And here are some of the things he brought up, and I thought it was quite interesting for a young lad to bring these up in his school project. He says, in the home, it's kindness, talking about character. In play, it's fairness. Toward the unfortunate, it's sympathy. And toward the fortunate, it's congratulations. And toward the weak, it is help. And toward the wicked, it's resistance. And toward the strong, it is trust. Toward the penitent, or penitent, it is forgiveness. And toward God, it is reverence and love. And in business, it is honesty. He says, in society, it is courtesy, and the last is, in work, it is thoroughness. These things are character traits, and I thought, you know, how wonderful it is that a young boy would think of things like this to turn in as a school project. Like I say, he probably had parents there that helped him, and these parents were parents of a home that believed very much in God and in His ways, and they were students of the Bible, because we went to church with them in our formative years. And I'm sure they helped him, but these things he turned in as a school project. So I thought I'd bring those out because they kind of tie in with what we're going to be talking about in the talking about people of character. You know, Israel was admonished to teach their children. And so I believe we really should do the same thing. We should teach our children. Let's look at Exodus, the 10th chapter, and verse 2. Exodus 10 and verse 2. Well, I'll begin in the verse 1. It says, now the Lord said unto Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show them the signs of mine before him, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things that I have done in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know them, that I am the Lord. So they were admonished to teach their children, to teach them those things that were in the law, and to teach them about what God was doing in the land of Egypt when he was bringing all of them out of the land of Egypt. Also, again, in Deuteronomy 4, verse 9, we see the same thing being brought out. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. Well, if I can find it, I'll read it to you. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and to your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, Gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and they may teach their children. So we see that character is something that we are to teach and admonish to our children in bringing them up, in the ways of the Lord, teaching them those things that this young lad had brought out that would be in the home, and that's kindness, that there'd be fairness, that there would be all these other attributes of character that are to be developed. So would like to look further into this subject of character, because I believe, brethren, that you'll find that we are children also in the school of Christ. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And John 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." So we are children. We're in the school of Christ. When we first come into this way, we're babes in Christ. And so we are to begin to build, through that sanctifying process, those character traits that God is looking for in us. And Jesus Christ is here as our teacher to help us in this school. In 1 Corinthians 1:26, we find not many wise, not many noble are called into this way. Not many that really have all that much already learned. But they are to come into this school of Christ and be taught the Word, taught the ways of the Lord. That in those things that we hear them over and over, as we've been hearing at this convention, we hear things today we've heard many, many times, but sometimes we hear something a little bit different. We hear it put a little differently, and then it opens up to us. So these are things that we're picking up, character traits. Matthew, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Let's look at that right quick. Matthew 18. Verses 1 through 3. Very, very familiar scripture to all. "At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whosoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever receives one of these little children like this in my name receives me.'" So we see here that we're admonished to be like a child, teachable, able to receive that nourishment that's coming to us through God's Word and to the one that is expounding it to us. And we know that he uses different ones for that purpose to help us in our walk. So we're in that school, and let's be able to really grasp hold of these things. We look at the ancient worthies. Hebrews 11 talks about the heroes of faith. Think about the ancient worthies. When they were coming back from the initial thing of Adam and Eve and all the way up through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and all of those that's brought out in Hebrews 11. During that period of time, we call those the ancient worthies. What was prominent about them? Character. Character of faith. They had faith to believe in God. And so they developed that character. Well, he was doing that for a purpose. We'll see that a little later. The purpose of developing the character in those ancient worthies for a work that's going to be later on. Well, today in the gospel age, that character development is happening to 144,000 plus. But 144,000 will be the bride of Christ. He's developing the bride of Christ, and the character development that we are to get is what will be that we can really take with us and use beyond the veil. So let's look at some of those points that are being brought out to us. Reprint number 2213, 2213, 14, and 15 is a reprint that brings out some character traits that Brother Russell wrote for us about the new creation that they should have. There's a quote there. It says, "These, the elect, should know what are the terms and the conditions upon which God has called them. One, to suffer with Christ in this present time, and two, to be glorified and reign with Him in the coming age, to bless the world. These should know the reason for their sufferings and the character which God would develop in them, and without which they would not be fit for the kingdom. The character which is to be developed within them." That's us, brethren. The character has to be developed. And God is calling many, but only a few are chosen that will go on and develop what He's looking for, to be that bride for His Son. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." So we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, and in doing so, we are to grasp hold of those things, like was brought out in the graces of the Spirit, adding to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and the knowledge patience, and all of those fruits are fruits of the Spirit, the graces of the Spirit that we are to add on to our character development. And when we do those things, it'll make us neither barren nor unfruitful. So that's what we want to look at. In this reprint, there's several things brought out, about 20 different things. We probably won't get to all of them, but we'll get to most. Number one, let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation, hypocrisy, disguising one's true motives, putting on a front, so to speak. Let love be without that. And Romans 12:9 says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good." So we are to hold on to that which is good, shun that which is evil, and put it out of our lives. And let that love that we have for our brethren be pure and genuine. 1 Peter 1:22, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, and see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently." And Romans 12, verse 12 is another one which talks about another one of those points that he brought out about being instant in prayer. You know, we are admonished to be instant in prayer, always being prayerful. And a scripture for that is Romans 12, verse 12. It says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." So we are to have this love and be without any dissimulation and be instant in prayer, in that that will help us to have that love that we ought to have. Another one is, "Abhor that which is evil." Abhor that which is evil. Again, we've got 1 Peter 5:22, which is applicable there. But we also got 1 Peter 2:1, which is talking about the graces of the Spirit. And then we get into chapter 3, verse 10 of 1 Peter. Let's look at that. 1 Peter 3, verse 10. "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. And let him turn away from evil and do good. And let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So we are to abhor that which is evil and not let it remain, because if it does, it will destroy character. We're either developing character or destroying character. And so if we are holding fast to that which we are getting, then we're going to be developing the character that we need to develop. Another point, cleave to that which is good. Cleave to that which is good. Hebrews 3, verse 6. A lot of scriptures here, so you may not want to turn to all of them. Just listen if you would like, or maybe write them down. Hebrews 3, verse 6. But Christ as Son over His own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm to the end. So if we hold fast, cleave to that which is good, hold on to that which we've received. In chapter 6, verse 18, also in Hebrews, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who has fled to refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. That hope that's been set before us, that hope of being a part, as we heard this morning, the sin offering, the blessing of the world of mankind. Our school of Christ now is developing us for a purpose, and that purpose is to be part of that blessing of the world of mankind. We had the ancient worthies back here. Their purpose is going to be coming up also. But our purpose is that we will be the bride of Christ and have an opportunity to bless all the world of mankind under a new covenant arrangement. So that's what we are to really hold on to. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, our faith, without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And that familiar scripture which Sister brought out earlier, I believe, let us consider one another in order to stir up our love and good works, and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Sister Duran brought that out, I believe. So we're to have that hope. The hope sufficient enough that we will make a way, some way, to be in convention, so that we can be more and more prepared and more character development brought about in our lives, that we can be prepared to do that which God wants us to be as a bride of His Son and be able to be a part of that blessing. Another point, be kindly affectioned. Be kindly affectioned. Romans 12, verse 10. Romans 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, but fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, and bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse or speak evil. All these things interrelate. All these things build on character traits within us. And if our characters are fully developed, they all become associated, and it becomes part of our life. We live it. We not only read it and hear it, but we begin to live it. Another one is distributing to the distresses of the saints, and I just got through reading that in the Romans there, 12:13. Distresses of the saints, the distresses of the saints. We heard some of that today. The sufferings and the anxiety and the worry, those are those distresses of the saints. They need help. They need our prayers, because he who loves his brother is fulfilling the law of God. He is having a great concern for his brother who is in Christ. And he's concerned with him, and he's going to suffer with him in his trials and in his test. It says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 4, But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in patience and in afflictions and in the necessities and in the distresses. So we are to be ministers of God in dealing with our brethren, in dealing with those around us, those who have a need, in our witnessing, we can also be a minister of righteousness, minister of hope, and providing that to fill up that which is suffering and hurting and needing help. So we are to be those, according to 2 Corinthians 6:4. Given the hospitality, we just brought that out also. And another one is, bless them which persecute you. Bless them which persecute you. Let's look at an example. Acts, the 7th chapter, verses 54. Acts 7. A tremendous example that we've got by one who had to suffer back in the days of the New Testament church. Acts 7, 54. The martyr of Stephen. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him and with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of the young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Bless them who persecute you. This was a tremendous suffering. Most of us won't ever go through that. But it's a great example of those who have suffered, but didn't lay it to their charge. Didn't come against them. Suffered because they did it for righteousness' sake. They were speaking the truth, and they had to suffer for it. And we may have to suffer some like that too as time goes on. As we speak the truth, there'll be those maybe that will turn on us. And we have to be ready for it. Because if that character is there, we can be able to withstand and hold on. Another one is an honor preferring one another. I brought out that in Romans 12:10, I believe. We'll look at Philippians 2:3. In honor preferring one another. Philippians 2 and verse 3. Because Romans 12:10, I think we read. Because a lot of these tie into the others. They're crossovers as far as application. Philippians 2 verse 3. Starting in verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, and let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others, in honor preferring one another. It's kind of hard to do sometimes, but it would be something that God would require in our character development. Be of the same disposition toward each one. In other words, one's usual mood or temperament. Be of the same disposition. We should have the same temperament, the same mood of dealing when we're dealing with one another. Not ever let it slip that we would be down and out. I know sometimes it's hard not to, but that's what we should be striving for, is to be of the same disposition and the same temperament in our dealings with one another and with those around us, with the world. Not slothful, number six, I got it six on my list, but it's probably a higher number by now. Not slothful in your affairs. Not slothful in your affairs. Hebrews 6, verse 12. Hebrews 6, verse 12. Starting verse 11 says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. For when God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you.'" So don't be slothful in our affairs. Let's be diligent in what we're doing, that we not be sluggish, that we not put off doing things, but that we be very quick to take care of our affairs when we're dealing with others. Proverbs 18:9. Proverbs 18, verse 9. "He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer." So being slothful is a character trait that can lead to being even more destructive with what we have. So being slothful is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. "Be not wise in your own conceits." Another character trait. Be not wise in your own conceits. I quoted this earlier, but I'll read it now. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 and 27 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Be not wise in our own conceits. In other words, when we think we know, sometimes we find out we didn't know. Not like we should have known. So we can't be too wise in our understanding sometimes, because we may not have all of the information yet. But he's called the foolish so that we can confound those, after we built that character that he wants within us, that we can confound those who we come in contact with when we're witnessing to them. That we'll have it down and understand what we're talking about and be able to bring it to them in the way that we should. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are wise." No, that's not right. They are not wise. They are not wise when they commend themselves or compare themselves. It's awful easy to compare yourself with someone else and watching your growth and also watching their growth, when we should be praying for our own selves and for them too. So another character trait, be not wise in our own conceits. Be fervent in the Spirit. Be fervent in the Spirit. We've covered that earlier. 1 Peter 1, 22. James 5, 16. James 5, 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another, that you may be healed. And the affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Fervent in the Spirit. Praying always. Instant in prayer. All these things tie together. Another point, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans 12:17 says, "Recompense to no man evil, but provide things honest in the sight of all men." And in 2 Corinthians 8:21, providing for honest things, but not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men, providing things honest. There's a big board in Huntsville, a roadside outdoor advertisement it is, along the road, and it says character, and it's kind of broken up in syllables. Character, it's how you act when no one's looking. And I thought that was quite a message to put out to the public. Character is how you act, how you conduct your life when no one's around, when no one's there. The only ones watching you is God, probably, and Christ and the holy angels and those that's gone on before us, but we think we're alone. But provide things honest in the sight of all men. Rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. Covered those things already too. Romans 5. We'll look at Romans 5 verse 2. I don't think I've read that, but we'll read that. 12 verse 12 I've read. But Romans 5 verse 2. Rejoicing in hope. Beginning in verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have access. We've been able to get in there because of the consecration we made, because of the begettal of the Holy Spirit. We have access to our Heavenly Father. And we can rejoice in hope because of that, because of the calling we've received. 12:12 says again, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, constant, instant in prayer. And in Romans 15 and verse 4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience or the perseverance and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 13. Rejoicing in hope always because of our opportunities that we have. Another character trait, live as peaceably with all men as life within the range of our possibilities. We're always responsible for them, but live peaceably with all men at life within your range of your possibilities. Whatever is possible for you to do, be sure and do that. And Romans 12:18 says that it is possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. So that is a requirement for us to strive to live at peace with those we work with, those that we come in contact with, to strive to do that because it's part of our character development. Another one is patient in tribulation. Patient in tribulation. Same scriptures apply. Romans 5:3. 12 and 12. 2 Thessalonians 1 through verse 4. We'll look at that right quick. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 4. Beginning in verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting because of your faith. It grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast to you among the churches of God for your patience and your faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. So we need to be patient in our tribulations. Another one, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Avenge not yourselves. It's so easy to come back at someone. I have a problem with that. If I'm spoken to in the wrong way, I want to buck right up. I've been working on that, but I still haven't got there. My wife can probably attest to that. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Beloved, in Romans 12, verse 9, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. If we take it patiently, it's good for us to take it, especially when we're not wrong. But that's when we want to rebel. But if we take it patiently, vengeance is His. He will repay. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Avenge not ourselves. And number 19 on my list, be not overcome of evil. Be not overcome of evil. Romans 12, 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So we got to reverse that. If we're receiving the evil, turn around and overcome it with the good. James 4 and verse 7, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And the familiar text that all of us know, Ephesians the 6th chapter, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. We have several things mentioned there that we can put on. That's part of our character, part of our development, putting on those things of armor, having the sword of the Spirit, having the breastplate of righteousness, having the shield of faith, having those things about us that we'll be able to withstand. Overcome evil with good. This is the last one. Overcome evil with good. All of these, like I say, kind of overlap. We've had some of these before, but this is another one. Overcome evil with good. There's quite an example of one of our ancient worthies in Genesis, the 45th chapter. Genesis 45, 1 through 15. We could spend probably another hour going through some of the heroes of faith and looking at some of these examples of the character that was there in some of those heroes of faith. But we'll just look at this one particular one. Genesis 45, 1 through 15. This is talking about Joseph. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So that no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. You know the story, how he came down into Egypt, sold into slavery, as it were, came down there and became part of the governing power of Egypt. He was there for a purpose. And we'll find that as we go along. And he's making himself known to his brothers now who did not remember him. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. And then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near, and then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves. Notice that trait of character. Do not be angry or grieved with yourselves. You sold me here, for God sent me before you preserved life. God sent me. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but it was God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. So hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not tarry. And you shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, and your children, and your children's children, and your flocks, and your herds, and all that you have. And there I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. What a better attitude could you have, a greater character trait could you have, than not to hold anything against your brothers who had treated you the way they had Joseph. But God sent him there. He recognized that. So the things that are being worked out in our lives a lot of times, we don't understand, but God is handling those things. In the fifth volume, page 130, it says, "The remainder of the race is not yet on judgment for life or death everlasting, and will not be until the millennial kingdom has been established. Meantime, however, each member of the world is, in proportion to his light, either building or destroying character, and thus making his millennial conditions and eternal life prospects either better or worse, according as he either obeys or disregards his knowledge and conscience." Even the world today is either building character or destroying character. And they don't know what they have ahead of them. But we do. We can build character today by God's help, by striving to add to our lives those graces of the Spirit, by doing those things that He's got us in the school of Christ to receive. And we're called according to a purpose. They are not. So they're building character or they're destroying character. And it will affect them later. Same thing for us today. Let's look at one last scripture. Psalms 45. We'll close with that. Very familiar to everyone, Psalms 45, verse 13. "The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace, and her clothing is woven with gold. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors, and the virgins, her companions, who follow her shall be brought to you. With gladness and rejoicing they shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace. Instead of your fathers, they shall be your sons, whom you shall make princes in all the earth. And I will make your name to be remembered in all the generations. Therefore, the people shall praise you forever and ever." The ancient worthies, as I mentioned earlier, were being brought along for a purpose. That is, they're going to be princes in all the earth. They developed character. The character of faith, the trust in God, even though the way hadn't been made available yet to receive this Holy Spirit. But they were being brought along for a purpose, and they're going to be used for that purpose. Those of us during the gospel age are being developed under character also. And our calling is that we will be part of the heavenly bride, the heavenly kingdom, the new Jerusalem. And we're building character for that. And that character will be, as it was brought out in verse 13, the daughter is all glorious. The church is all glorious within this palace. But the virgins, her companions, will be there also. And they're going to build character. It will be through tribulation, but they're going to build characters and cleanse their robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. So they're going to have character also. So you see the character development, ancient worthies, the bride of Christ, the great multitude, and lastly, the character development is going to be during the Mediatorial Kingdom. "And I will make your name to be remembered in all generations, and therefore the people in the Mediatorial Kingdom shall praise you forever and ever." Character development. All mankind eventually will either come to that character development or go into second death. But the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and all will know Him from the least to the greatest, and all will be filled with that character trait of heart loyalty that God is expecting for us to develop today in our opportunity. So may we continue to do that. And as we study, look at all the people of character, because they're there for our encouragement that they overcome all these things, the ancient worthies did, through all their sacrifices. And they are an example to us that we can do the same thing by presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. And may the Lord add His blessing.